Let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the things you've already spoken. I pray that you would be with us as I read your word and as we hear what you're speaking to us. I pray that we'd have open hearts and hear from your words and not my words. In Jesus' name, amen. So I think that was a good introduction for what I was going to talk about. I'm going to be looking mostly at Psalm 49, but specifically with a focus on the word ransom. And I did start preparing this back in like November when I thought I was going to have a sermon in December or something. And so this isn't because Eric was talking about money, but there's a lot of it that does line up. I'll start with reading. And then also the Webster's 1828 dictionary definition of money, of ransom, is the money or price paid for the redemption of a prisoner or slave, or for goods captured by an enemy, that which restores a captive to liberty. So reading in Psalm 49, that's one thing to keep your eyes out for, is that theme of ransom. Hear this, all peoples, and give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, the meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb, I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in times of trouble, when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches. Truly no man can ransom another, or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, and the fool and stupid alike must perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they called lands by their own names. Man and his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence, yet after them people approve of their boasts. Selah. Like sheep they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol, with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. Selah. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, and when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. So I think that's pretty obvious how that pairs up with some of the things we've already been talking to the children about. So going through this verse, a few verses at a time, I'm going to start in verse 5 and 6. She talks about, why should I fear in times of trouble? We see rich people who are ungodly and wicked, and they amass great wealth and sometimes and often oppress believers and oppress the poor. And so that we could have a tendency to fear and to say, well, God, why are you letting all these people be powerful and strong and do these terrible things? And, you know, they're not being generous, they're not doing the things we learned about. Why do they have great wealth? And even though it looks powerful to us, it's important to remember that God's the one who's still in control and that they will get their reward for what they do. And it also reminded me of the couple stories of Joseph. You know, Joseph so many times was put down and was faithful with what he had, and God raised him up. And Daniel as well, you know, he could have said, oh, these people are invading us and taking me captive. There's no hope that God could raise me up, but God raised him up as well. And then verses 7 through 9, truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit. So there's no, you know, no billionaires on earth that could actually prolong their days, you know, beyond what's beyond a few years beyond anyone else by any medical interventions. They will not gain eternal life that way, even if they have imaginations of ways to do so. And so it's just something that we know that the only path to eternal life is through the Lord. And even though this is Old Testament, it's very clearly pointing to that there is a way that God will ransom, and that our souls can be saved. We'll get to that in verse 15. And then verse 10, we have the tendency to think, well, okay, I get that riches won't, but maybe if I'm really wise, you know, great wisdom, maybe that'll make me not make foolish choices and I'll live a little longer. But he says, for he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike all perish and leave their wealth to others. Even the wisest man, casualties, sickness can come. It's not something that you can always prevent. And in the end, it's certain that death will come. So wise and fools all die in the end, and they can't take their wealth with them. Doesn't matter how wise you are, it doesn't make it so you can bring your wealth with you. And then verses 11 through 12. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they called lands by their own names. And there's a few parts in here that just remind me so much of the world of, like, you know, what I really want is people to remember me. I remember when I was a little kid hearing people talk about, like, I specifically remember it in the Methodist church at Sunday school when I was a child, and they said, we're talking about what eternal life was, and some of the answers were things like, well, for one person, eternal life might be that people remember you. And I was like, okay, so Hitler? We all remember him, so that's eternal life, right? Like, I don't know, I was a little kid, I didn't understand, and I didn't certainly, just didn't quite seem right, and I think now I know why. But this says pretty clearly that even if you get lands named after yourself, you know, even if you get the Mario Cuomo Bridge named after you, once you die, that doesn't actually help you at all. That doesn't necessarily mean, like, one thought I had this, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's wrong to have memorials to people who are great and to remember them. That's not necessarily a bad thing for us to do, but it doesn't help them. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence. Yet after them, people approve of their boasts. So oftentimes people who are rich and proud, and later on we'll get to the phrase, do well for themselves, we'll see them and people will say, I really wish that I could be like this amazingly powerful rich person. If only I could be like, you know, I don't know, name your ruler. But they all died in their boasting. And especially when it came to rulers and dignitaries, often they died because of their boasting. Verse 13, this is the path, I read that already. Verse 14, the upright shall rule in the morning. So this, like sheep they are appointed to Sheol, death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol with no place to dwell. And I think that line, the upright shall rule in the morning, I think is a picture of the kingdom of coming kingdom of God and the righteous who in this life often are not the rulers and are not not the ones who have the power and authority, are the ones that the Lord will give power to rule in the new kingdom. So and then verse 15, but God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. And this is our only true hope. It's not, can't be money, it can't be riches, it can't be wisdom. It's that the Lord himself will ransom us. And the other picture I have in this is that the ransom, it also is telling us what we need to be ransomed from. That death is coming to all of us, and without a ransom being paid, our future is destruction. And it doesn't here spell out exactly who pays that ransom and that, like, how God does it, and we know that from the New Testament and from other prophecies, but it's very clear that from these passages that the ransom is needed. Verse 18, For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself. And this is definitely, I mentioned this already, but it's just one of those things that so often I've heard people say, oh, I visited so-and-so's house, and I saw that they built their new house, and they did this, and they've really done well for themselves. And often that's the thing that you then look at and you say, oh, well, I wish I had this, this, or this, and I had done as well for myself as our flesh is nature. But I think our heart should be that we should seek to do well. It's not that it's bad to, seek to do things well and to be diligent in our work, but our goal should not be for ourselves, but that we do well for the Lord and for others. It should be goal of service, which I'll get to very soon in some other verses in the New Testament. Finishing up in here, though, verse 20. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beast that perishes. And so the exhortation from that is that we should be those who have understanding, that we contemplate the end of our lives, that we understand that our days are limited, and we have the understanding that the Lord is the one who can ransom us. So, moving on to the New Testament, Matthew 25, verses 26 through 28. So this is the parable of the talents. I'm not going to read the whole thing because I think most of us know it very well. But verses 26 to 28. But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. And so the one other pitfall we can have is say, well, if riches cannot pay our ransom, then maybe I should just avoid working at all. I shouldn't pursue money. Shouldn't have anything. I'm just going to sit back and relax and just wait for the kingdom of God to come. Just going to sit here, maybe pray, but I'm not going to do anything in this life to do any work. No, we are called to invest whatever God entrusts to us to bear fruit for his kingdom. So if he's given us a skill, if he's given us resources, we should not use those just for our own laziness and pleasure and pursuing our own ends and pride, but we should seek, as was already spoken to here, first, with the first fruits of what God gives us, to serve his kingdom and be led by his Spirit and how we can do that. And the song we sang about why do you spend money for that which is not bread and your labors for that which does not satisfy, the reality is most of the things that in this life make us proud and make us look really good to other people are not the things that have an eternal significance, the things that really are bread, that really are things that will serve the kingdom and have eternal reward, are not those things. And then looking at Matthew 20, verses 25 to 28, this is about Jesus being our example in how we should be living. But Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And so this is, the picture of Jesus being our ransom, but that we are called to be like him in serving others and in not in just pursuing our own desires and our own ends. And then 1 Peter 1, 13 through 25. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest to you in the last times for the sake of you, who, through him, are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So this shows us that we should take seriously these realities of our need for a ransom and of our what we have been ransomed from as believers. It's not just that we've been ransomed from, you know, God didn't just pay the debt for the sins we've had in the past, but this talks about how we've been ransomed from the ways that we inherited from our forefathers, the ways of living in sin, living for ourselves and for our pride, living with the goal of doing well for ourselves. We've been ransomed from that for a great purpose. And we need to think about those things soberly. A lot of times in our culture, we don't like to think soberly. I know I like to joke a lot, but these things are serious, and our eternity and the eternity of those that we may share the Lord with is dependent on it. And there's something else in there. And that our hope would be fully on the grace that will be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Not, well, it's a little bit in my money. I'm gonna hedge my bets and make sure that I've got enough there. And then after that, I give the Lord what's left, and you know, hopefully, I'll buy my way into heaven. It's not our wealth giving the Lord our wealth that gets us to heaven. It's our faith, hope fully in the grace that will be brought to us through Jesus. And just also remembering the crucifixion, that the blood of Christ is precious. It was a great sacrifice. And so often we hear these things, and I almost didn't want to bring a message on ransom because I was like, it's just another one of those words that we hear all the time, and we probably, most of us, know what it means, and we've read the passages. But I think it's good for us all to dwell on what the Lord has done for us in ransoming us. So, and then the last part of the 1 Peter 1 passage, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. That kind of goes with what Eric was sharing of fostering, being intentional about fostering love for each other in the body and seeking for unity. And that it's not... it's not like the world is, but that we're what we're doing is investing in a kingdom that's forever. Revelations 5, 9 through 10. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. And so this is a glimpse. There's so much that we don't often think about or don't even understand about what the coming kingdom is going to be like in the new heavens and the new earth. But this picture that this isn't just for the good of what we're doing right now, you know, there's eternal, there's an eternity that the Lord is preparing us for of being a kingdom of priests that goes so much beyond just, well, you know, God, you provide my daily bread now, and you know, make sure that I have the things that I need now. He's preparing us for something great. And so keeping that in our focus. And also that future is something that, you know, the kingdom is coming now, too. There are things of God's kingdom work that he's calling us to do now, to prepare for that and to be part of that now. Drawing towards a conclusion, if you're here and Jesus is already your Lord, as is, I generally assume is the case with most of us, let's remember the ransom that was paid for us and seek to be good stewards and lay up our treasure in heaven, not being deceived by riches or the pride of this life. But if you're here and Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, you like him or, you know, are interested but haven't said, you know, fully, Lord, you are the Lord of my life, know that this ransom's already been paid for your life, if only you will receive it. As Jesus said in Matthew 4:17, he began his ministry with, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And I read over those passages, and I was like, yeah, of course, that's the thing Jesus said when he began his ministry. And it's just a short verse. It says, you know, he began his ministry by saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But when we actually think about what the kingdom of heaven is and what, all of the Old Testament was looking forward to, it's really great news that the kingdom of heaven is at hand and that we can repent and be ready to join him in the kingdom. And let's end with Isaiah 35, verse 10. I think I have enough time. I might read a little more of Isaiah 35. I'll start at verse 8. "And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." Thank you.